Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigger, editor at the Society. And for today's podcast, we're going to be talking about mindset shifts in the age of COVID. I'm delighted to be joined for this pod by Lynn Frost and Emma Harris. Lynn is head of brand and acquisition at Virgin Red, which is Virgin's brand new rewards club. And Emma heads up the agency Glow London, who are the lead creative agency. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And interestingly, I see just to start this off. So you guys are together. You're in an office somewhere, which just confused me. I expect you to both be remote in, I don't know, somewhere else in your houses or something. So are you both working in the offices these days, or what's going on?
Not normally, no. So, but this is just a case. We're both mums. We have busy houses. And when we need to get some clarity and headspace, so we're actually closing our office in January, but we're still here for a while. So we just thought we'll use this empty space as somewhere to get inspiration from each other.
And we've actually been doing this throughout the different phases of lockdown where we can, that we make sure that we have one day of that week where we can escape our busy lives, our busy home lives, and then connect on a professional level together. So we just felt like the podcast should be done in that vein.
No, it's great. It's great. I was surprised. I saw you both on the same camera. I'm like, hold on a minute. You're in the same place.
But we are in the same bubble, I've decided. We're a professional bubble.
Professional bubble. Okay, cool. Well, you know, with the new tiers coming in, whatever they may be, then I guess we'll see. Maybe there'll be professional bubbles and this bubbles and that bubbles. Who knows?
You can't work from home. That's the vague rule. And if I say there are too many people in my house, I cannot think, then I think that's acceptable.
I agree. <Yeah. laughs>
So to take it back for a second, so I just want to start with the kind of the history of Glow and Virgin Red. How long have the two companies worked together, and sort of how did it all begin?
Well, I think we pitched July 19. God, it feels like a million years ago. I mean, I have a big history with Virgin, and I actually got a call. It wasn't a massive open pitch. There was four of us in the pitch, and actually the other three were quite big agencies, so we kind of went in as a bit of an outsider, and we won it. And interestingly, Lynn was on the pitch team, so Lynn was Glow side then, and that was 18 months ago. And it's been an amazing journey, apart from the fact they stole Lynn because she's so amazing, but it's also just because of what we've been through together. You know, the business has been through huge amounts of change, as well as the world changing at the same time. So it really, you know, the strength of the relationship is the thing that's kept us all going. We've had to do lots of stopping and starting and changing and flexing and just everyone being sort of patient and in it together.
Yeah, but it wasn't like deep undercover then. So you don't still work for the other company and you're just deep undercover client now.
No, I mean, and just going back to the pitch and our approach. So as Glow, it was very much about building really strong relationships from the offset. Mm. And we've got brilliant chemistry. And it actually just felt quite natural. I actually moved over on secondment to help them set up the brand. And then it just felt like a natural evolution of that relationship that I actually would move over. Personally, I've always wanted to try it out client side to see what it's like on the other side, whether it's the dark side or not. So it's been very fortuitous for us both, I think. And as a team, we very much feel like one team. So I don't actually feel like there's a client side and an agency side. The way that we work together, we're one team in it together. And as Emma said, I think if we hadn't had the relationship or this approach, I don't think we'd have survived, because it's been a lot of stop starts. Launching a new program and effectively we're launching a new brand amidst COVID is challenging, and you need to have a team alongside you that can flex with you and doesn't get too stressed out when everything changes, because it's changing day by day.
Mm. You mentioned this new brand during COVID. Was the inception of this during COVID, or was this something you were doing anyway and you're like, actually, we're still going to do it? It just happens to be now it's in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, so actually Virgin Red has been in the making for a long time. So we've actually said 50 years in the making. It's something that Richard always wanted to do, to be able to truly reward and recognise his customers. So Virgin Red, the plan was always to launch, but it was actually to launch in March. So just at the beginning of the lockdown and COVID, and it was decided that it would be a crazy time to try and do anything. So we've sort of paused, which in fact is always a good thing when you're launching a new product. So it gives you a bit of time to pivot behind the scenes, make sure everything's right. We're currently in a beta phase at the moment, and then we'll be officially launching in the new year.
Mm. Yeah, so we had a piece from the London Sock Company on the website last week, actually, that we just put up. And it was a similar thing where they had a whole campaign ready to roll, and then the thing hit and they were like, actually, this message is completely off tone now. It's not good. So they just had to go and redo the entire thing like in a week or two. So it sort of half killed them, but they said they were glad they did it. But frantic pivoting, I guess. So you switched from one side to the other, I suppose, dark side to light side. I don't know which one's which. But what are the differences? Are there big differences? What are your sort of learnings been in that switch?
I think one of the big key learnings is actually and we said this as part of our pitch, that we're the agency that will think about you in the shower, like you're our number one priority. But when you move over, you realise your agency is such a small part of your day. You need them to be there ready and ready for action when you need them, and you need them to deliver the goods to make you to ensure that everything's going smoothly. I was going to say to make you look good, which sounded terrible, but it's true. But you don't need them. They're not part of my everyday. There's so many other things that happen behind the scenes. So there's a lot of stakeholder management. There's a lot of lining everybody up. There's a lot actually that doesn't involve advertising. So, that's probably one of the main learnings, is that you're, as an agency, you need to be there when you're needed, but you're not thought of every second of the day.
If you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, as I'm sure you know, Michael, I used to be a client, so we've kind of done the opposite switch. And that was one of the things when I first came out of Eurostar, where I used to be marketing director, it was to spend a lot of time with all my agency partners that I'd worked with to say, look, you guys, there's a switch needed, that the client agency relationship, the key to it is to be so brilliant that actually your clients don't spend a lot of time thinking of you. You know, as Eurostar marketing director, most of my energy went on delivering the brand into the experience, particularly with, you know, social media. You can't afford to say one thing and be another. So delivering that brand right into the DNA of the business is the thing that actually takes a lot of your energy. You expect your agencies just to get on with the advertising and do everything brilliantly.
Also, the pushing back part. So yes, you want your agency to be strong and you want them to push you to get the best out of you as a brand. However, sometimes you don't want a battle every step of the way. So I think that's where we understand both sides. It means that we can have that harmonious working relationship. So I'm there to be pushed, but however, sometimes you just need to do it because we just need to do it that way just to make it work. So I think that's probably another key learning.
Is that sort of laying it out where you're like, are we fighting on this one? And be like, yes, we are. Okay, how about this one? No, just do this one.
Absolutely.
So a little bit of that.
Challenge me or not to challenge me.
I was thinking about, it's a bit like you say, like the reliability of agencies or just being there and you don't think about them because they're already doing a good job. And it kind of puts me in mind of CGI. So like sometimes the best CGI in movies is when you don't see it at all. Yeah. You're not thinking, oh, that's a great effect, because it's just blended in and you're immersed in the story.
Best actors are not the ones where you think that's acting.
Yeah, subtle stuff. Mark Rylance, I would say. I saw him the other day in the Trial of the Chicago 7, which is on Netflix, which I highly recommend. As a topical thing, which is going to age this podcast, but I don't care.
He's very good as well.
So obviously we talked about like the fact that you guys are in the same room at the moment, face-to-face meetings, and kind of, obviously, for a lot of us, they've gone away and it's almost hard to remember sort of what's happened to them. But how's that sort of been working for both of you and indeed your teams, you know, missing face-to-face, or how are they finding other ways to work together and connect and be creative and that sort of thing?
Well, I think, I'm sure everyone's saying the same thing. You've just got to find other ways to stay. And it's getting harder and harder as you go along, because you're finding, you know, everyone's so zoomed out that to do something extracurricular, people are a little bit, oh god, I've had it all day on Zoom, I don't want to have a beer in the evening. But like Lynn said, when it wasn't strict lockdown, we were getting the team together once a week, so we were working out of places, either here or Soho Works, And making sure we had that. And it's so important, because all the little creative moments you have and just getting stuff done when you're together is so different. So we've been doing that all the way through. And then obviously, and also for our team, it's just about what we're missing is that moment when you get in the room and you put your book down and go for a coffee with someone, go and grab the coffee. And how are you and how are the kids? And, you know, it's that personal stuff. So it's making sure that every meeting doesn't just go straight into an agenda. So you have that little bit of a chat at the beginning.
Yeah, and I think we actually pitched out our experiential work during right in the middle of COVID, where we couldn't meet up with them. And it was a challenge because, as Emma said, it's the chemistry. Mm. It's those little moments. It's the pleasantries. I think Emma said to me, don't forget the pleasantries, because you do. I think you get fatigued and you just think, oh God, another catch up just to say hi to the team. But actually it's really important. And one thing I've realized, for example, with the design team I'm working with, I speak to people all day long. I'm in back-to-back calls and it's driving me a little bit mental, but they're not. So if I haven't got the time to have the pleasantries and the chat with them, that's the only interaction they have with someone else. So you've got to remember also that you may be on back-to-backs, but other people aren't. But the pitch process without the human interaction face-to-face was actually quite hard, because you couldn't differentiate people based on personality and based on the team as you would normally.
Mm. Do you find that you mentioned like design teams and stuff like that, I do wonder, like, if you're more isolated in your role, like you know you don't actually need to be in lots of meetings, it's almost a compounding effect actually, and you become quickly more and more withdrawn. So like you say, when you get on these Zooms, you kind of like, actually, you know, I'm not connecting to this because I've hardly seen anyone all week or spoken to anyone. I've just been doing my job. I do wonder if those are the people that are drifting the most, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's about making sure that you have, so we're continually having WIPs and check-ins as you would normally, and being mindful of that. But I do think, and I know it's something we're going to talk about, but when we look at the future, I think it's quite easy to say, and our CEO said this, he said, you know what, we've worked incredibly hard to get to where we are and to be on schedule for launching in the new year, and we probably worked even harder and more efficiently than we would have done if we were in the office. However, you mustn't forget that we're doing this because we have to, and that moving forward it is those moments, those human interactions that you do need to maintain. So personally, I don't think we should necessarily go back to being in office 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and actually designers quite enjoy having their own space and that they're not chained to a desk. They can actually have some thinking space, but we must have a balance, and that we don't go too far the other way and we all lose our offices and we don't have any meeting up points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, like, how that changes next year and probably actually the year after, to be honest. I know everybody wants these things to happen quickly and whatever the changes are, but like forcing society to change massively, you know, it's weird. Humans seem to change really quickly, but also not at all. I've never been able to understand that. But what sort of other things are you both doing in terms of staying connected, whether it's, you know, outside of work or inside of work? Like, are there any things that you've seen others do you think actually that'd be great to bring into, you know, a business sense to kind of keep everybody feeling connected?
Yeah, I mean, I've always done this with my team. So even when I was Glowside, I'd have my team members come to my house. And we'd have a day at my house, we'd go and walk my dog. I've got twins, so, because actually they don't have the same, possibly the same family setup I do. So they'd get to come and experience a bit of my life, but also I'd get to know them out of the office, out of a corporate environment. We'd have a day, as I said, the walking the dog is the best meeting forum ever, because you're walking the dog, but you're chatting and you're getting a lot achieved and you're getting to know each other. So actually, I started officially at Virgin Med in June, and I didn't know my team. So when we were allowed, I got my team over to my house and we did exactly that. And it was brilliant. And it means that I feel like I know my team members and they also know me.
Mm.
So I'd thoroughly recommend it.
Yeah, I think for some of us, so we had a new CEO in the summer, and like for a bunch of us, actually, we've not actually met face to face. So it's kind of weird. And we've had a couple of new starters in the team as well. And we're only a small team at the society. So it is kind of funny. It's like normally you'd see people pretty much every day. But yeah, it's kind of disconnecting or whatever. Emma, how about you? Are there any things that you've been doing, or you've stumbled on little ways of connecting and engaging people?
I think it's just that multi-channel thing, isn't it? It's just, you know, because everyone's got different preferences. So, I mean, one of the things, obviously, I run Glow, but I'm, you know, big into people and behaviours. And it's just important to recognize that those people, I mean, use something like Myers-Briggs, those extremes, they're the people that are going to need more of that connection. So it's just creating opportunities that are not forced. So having those kind of open meetings, open forums, places, as I'm sure you know, Michael, I also am CMO for the Social Element, which is, you know, 300 people all over the world. And at the beginning of lockdown, we were having daily check-ins. So they, if people wanted to come, they didn't need to, but if they wanted to, now we have them, we still have them quite frequently. And it's just very chatty, and it's just a chance to, for people to talk and share if they want. There are some people living on their own. You know, there are young people that have been working out of a bedroom for months and months and months. And it's just, it's that. And also doing a lot of talking about mental health and well-being. And I do a lot of talking about this thing called the Corona Coaster. I don't know if you've heard me banging on about it, but it's this crazy sense we all get where some days we feel absolutely banging on top of the world and everything's okay. And oh, look, at least we've got a fridge full of food and a nice garden for those of us that have. Or some days you just feel completely overwhelmed and hopeless. I mean, it's a little bit better now. Trump's not in charge of the world. But, you know, there were days where everything just felt really dark. And it's just, I do a lot of talking about mental health and ways to access positivity. There's a lot of imposter syndrome going on. We're all at home on our own. Those voices are very loud, those crazy voices we all have. So recognizing they don't exist and ways to shout louder than it. And also focusing on the future. This will not always be the case. We will get back to being out and about and in meetings and being creative and drinking cocktails and having fun. And so it's just about focusing on the future and helping people to create those outcomes and see those holidays and know that we will get through this. And, and that feeling down and feeling overwhelmed is okay, but it's also a choice.
I think choice is actually a very important point here, that some days I choose to not really get dressed. I do calls, I'll make sure I've got a bra on, but that's about it. And then other days, like today, I've blow dried my hair and I've put my what consider more my work clothes on and I feel brilliant, but that's my choice. And I think everyone should have that choice, that if they want to work from home, they can. I've been very fortunate that I've always been able to work from home 2 days a week, so I get to take my kids to school and pick them up. It's incredibly important to me. But I know that's very, pre-COVID, that was a real luxury. And when I was looking for jobs, it would be like, you're not going to get that. I think what I'm hoping is that the positive outcome is this, is that choice, that we get to choose to work how we want to work, and the recognition that not everybody works in the same way. So I think that's the most important thing.
We've got we partner with Truant London, our creative team on Virgin, and our creative director Simon. I think he'd be quite happy if we never left the house again. Never left the house again, he'd be quite happy. Whereas for me, I'm climbing the walls. Lynn's the same. So I think it's exactly, if we can create a world where people aren't compelled, I think the agency world is one where people, there is a pressure to kind of be in, be seen. I hope that's changed for good.
And I think, I mean, it's funny because obviously, like, for some people, the office was never a great environment. It was the default. You had to be there. And now it's suddenly this, like, and it's funny because obviously all freelancers and people that work from home anyway are kind of looking at the rest of us going, well, we've done this for years, you know, you guys are suddenly catching up, like this is a new thing. But at least when they did it, they could also go out into the world and meet up and have coffees and whatever. And so you could kind of break up the day. But it struck me a while back when I had a meeting with our web developer when we were in the office like a year ago or whatever. I found that he was quite chatty, and he the meeting had completely ended, and he was just wanting to chat and catch up. And I realized as I walked off straight to my next meeting, it's because he works at home, and like that's actually in, you know, human interaction. And I was like, oh yeah, we have completely different environments. I'm surrounded by people all day in this office. So it's, I don't know. And like, there's that other thing with Zoom as well, where the one-to-one aspect. So some people like the whole grid where they can sort of see everybody and have a big chat with everybody. And some of us go completely quiet in that environment where we can do one-to-ones maybe, I think, which I found is interesting.
Some of us have been very used to it. So the Social Element, again, it's 300 people globally, it's virtual, you know, our board, one's in Valencia, one's in Aberdeen, one's in North Carolina. So we you know, we're set up to work remotely anyway. So that has been completely the norm, I think, for other people. You're right, it's a huge challenge. And also the joke I made earlier about the actor Danny Sapani, that's actually my husband. And, you know, he was explaining to me that when he's on set, the close-ups is for an intense moment. So when you're on Zoom all day, you're actually unconsciously, your brain is receiving information as intense. You know, if you're in a meeting, you can have that moment where, you know, you're staring at your pen or you're looking around the room. But when you're on Zoom, you're constantly, you know, it would be rude of me to suddenly kind of, you know, step away. So it's much more exhausting. It's much more exhausting. So for people that need that connection, it's tough. And for people on there all day, it's taking a different muscle.
And I think also, but it's something that actually we need to be mindful of when we do go back to normal meetings is letting other people speak. And I know, and I can say this for Emma as well, we're both talkers and we both love to do it. And I'm quite aware that I can just carry on and not actually let my team member get a word in edgeways. So I think we have to follow the same principles even more so when you're on a mass Zoom call, that you're respecting everybody, almost pausing. I know that I think Hangouts has now got a hand up icon. I think I imagine there's gonna be a lot more development in this space when you can actually sort of hand over the microphone so that people can have that minute to speak. And as Emma said, but there was a lot of pressure as well on your facial expressions all the time, always being switched on. I was in a call recently and somebody said, I like to laugh quite a lot, and I burst out into laughter. And they were it was completely at the wrong time. But it's just because I was engaging with something on Slack, I was actually being quite naughty. I think there's always that as well. That it's quite hard to stay focused on a call. I like to have something going on in the background. So
we had our virtual conference a couple of weeks ago. And I was sort of taking notes on it, and but it was almost an entire day of essentially talks on Zoom, and it was very hard to maintain that focus for sort of 9 hours, because it's something about like your brain. It takes a lot more brain power to be like looking at the screen rather than just listening to a talk. So I keep trying to have phone calls with people and they're like, let's do a Zoom. I'm like, can we just have a phone call?
You're crazy. Let's pick up the phone.
Well, I'm refusing to do social Zoom stuff. I just can't. I can't handle it. It's a step too far. But also I'm now on a screen like 24/7. So I'm getting that's even more addictive. I'm constantly on a screen and you just want to have a moment when you just shut the laptop so that we're not staring into a screen all the time.
In terms of next year, I mean, did you have a piece of advice for sort of other leaders that are trying to plan for 2021 without any idea really of what lies ahead? I mean, you know, I suppose there's slight ideas, but ultimately, is it going to be more of the same, similar to this year, or what are you thinking?
It's the don't plan, do plan. So I'm a big believer in plan A, B, C, and D. And I think you have to be. There was something I always said to myself. So having twins, twins never sleep. Well, you never get any sleep. And I told myself that if I got sleep, it was a bonus. And I think at the moment, if something goes to plan, it's a bonus. And I think you have to have that mentality. You have to plan to know that your plan will change. And I think, and that's not a bad thing. I think it's good, because I think it means we're more agile and we're thinking around things in different ways.
I was writing a piece last week all about change management is the BAU. And, you know, it's like, actually, what is change management anymore? Because even before COVID, you know, find me a company that either didn't need to change or was in the process of changing. And now, you know, it's not even just technology that's changing. The world, society, politics, everything's changing so quickly. The only thing you can do is to have uncertainty as your friend, and just to go, okay, we'll put these plans in place, but we all have to know it could go left, could go right. It's a mindset thing as much as sort of a functional thing. Mm. And it's getting everyone feeling comfortable with that. And for a lot of people, change is exciting and we love change. Mm. But it's also recognizing for some people it's incredibly difficult.
I was going to say, not being scared to make decisive decisions as well. So if it feels right, go for it, do it. Don't research and test the hell out of it and overthink it. So I think you've just got to make quick decisions and be prepared that you might fail, but that's fine because you can change it again. It's not forever. Nothing's fixed.
Yeah. And I guess there's the kind of element obviously of leaders saying, oh, you know your customer and stuff like that. But at the moment, the customer is us and we don't know what's going on and we don't know what's, you know, our mood, like you say, the roller coaster of COVID or whatever, your mood's going up and down all the time. So one day you might be like, oh, I really want to, you know, buy this thing from this company. The next day, I'm not interested. I don't know what you're talking about. And like, if we're all over the place, and I guess it must be hard to kind of reflect that as a sort of a marketing leader.
It actually that came into how we set up our brand. So for Virgin Red, it's rewards that revolve around you, but it's all about what our customers need, want and love. And that actually came out of this process, because it's about enabling us to give you what you want at the right time, or what you love, or what you're looking forward to. So it's very much at the heart of our brand, in the sense that we will pivot and we will change, but we'll also continually talk to you every day to find out what you want. And I think that's what all brands are going to have to do. As you said, it's not quarterly research, it's listening all the time.
So it's becoming sort of a hell of a lot more kind of flexible and resilient, because you see all the brands this year, or the companies that have fallen over because they only had one way of doing things, and they're kind of, they've snapped, that like they've done, whereas, you know, it's like modern buildings, they're built with flex. And I guess that's what we got to do, be ready for more pandemics in the future, or other things of that nature.
That's the thing that we've got to accept. Who knows what's going to happen? This completely blindsided all of us. All the pandemic films you ever seen before were all about the fear of dying or turning into a zombie or foaming at the mouth. No one thought about the sort of the socio-political impact of having a pandemic, which actually for most of us, and I'm someone who's had COVID, you know, actually the virus itself isn't the fear. The fear is the impact on the economy, the impact on society, mental health, that sort of stuff. No one saw this. So that's what we've got to know. We're blindsided to whatever can happen. So for a brand, it's exactly that. Have flex, stay close to your customers, listen, but also stay true to your values. You know, that's brands that are trying to pivot, flex, respond, yes, but completely U-turn, you know, that's a world of pain. So it's, you know, all the way through, we built the brand for Virgin Red early on, and it has been our sort of North Star all the way through. And, you know, that's the key, is know who you are, and then listen to your customers and respond, and just be open, because we just don't know what's going to happen.
And I guess just to wrap up, I suppose a kind of a final thought on next year. So if there's a thing about whatever the world may be next year, if there's a thing that makes you positive or excites you about next year, what would that be?
I was actually going to say have fun, because I think we must. I think it's very easy to just think about all of the, I don't know, all the business as usual, or all of the panic, or the, I think we've just got to take each day as it comes, and wherever we are, let's try and find that silver lining. Let's try and find that grin in the daily grind, because if we don't, we're just going to, if we don't do that, I don't know where we're going to be. So I just think we have to always look for that silver lining, because it's there. It's always there.
And to add to that, I would say two things. One is for people, and a lot of people having a tough time, people losing jobs, people seeing a lot of uncertainty, just remembering the power of you and the choices you have in your head to think positively and build your own outcomes and set your own goals. And, you know, if you believe in a positive 2021, you're more likely to have a positive 2021 because you create that outcome. And then the second thing is just on a micro level, when you're reading the news every day and you're so engrossed in what's happening in the world, you can forget that you actually look around and you're loved and you're healthy, and, you know, we're all in, you know, lucky enough to have homes and people that love us. And on a daily basis, you can get overwhelmed with what's happening, but mostly you're just with your family, with your loved ones, getting on with your life, and it's all okay. Yeah. So it's just remembering not to be overwhelmed by the noise.
It
sounds great advice, and I think keeps us all grounded perhaps, and a bit of perspective. Well, it's a great conversation. Thank you so much for you both your time today, and I hope next year brings you fun and excitement as marketers, but perhaps not too much, just level excitement, whatever that might be.
Lots of time together, that's
exactly the, and we're looking forward to the I'm not going to date this, but looking forward to Wednesday night. Got my box of goodies.
Our evening of celebration. Yeah. So always, you know, finish on a thing to plug. So that's good. Yeah, well, we've got that crossed off. So that's again, that's going to be a sort of a first for us. I know we had our Brave Awards earlier this year. So hopefully this is the next step in virtual black tie celebration eve things. So we'll see. I'm as curious as you, because I've not been involved in it either. So we'll see what it holds. But thank you both very much, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
Take care.